Strangers in the Car by C.M. Ewan, read by Olivia Mace.
Saturday morning, 10:56 a.m. Samantha Clark knew the moment they reversed out of their space in the hotel car park that something was wrong. Not that it came as a surprise. She'd been living on her nerves for weeks, her senses attuned to the slightest threat. And there had been a lot of warnings. Some big, others small. Some had been so subtle and insidious that she might almost have missed them, until she didn't. And now, what was it she was sensing? Samantha looked across at her husband, Paul, freshly showered and shaved, redolent of the cheap deodorant he'd doused himself with in a failed attempt to mask his stress and fear pheromones, dressed smart casual in his weekend dad attire of a zip-neck jumper over a blue Oxford shirt, dark trousers, dress shoes. He appeared almost normal. A glimpse of the before Paul, if you didn't look too closely at the rash on his neck from shaving too hastily, the bagged pouches under his eyes, or the strained, faraway gaze he'd adopted lately. But nothing Samantha saw twitched her fight-or-flight antennae, which meant this wasn't about Paul. Leela, then? A cramping in her chest as she whirled around to gaze at their baby girl, strapped into the child seat behind them. But no. It couldn't be Leela, because Samantha could see her giggling happily and kicking her feet in her lemon-yellow onesie, her tiny hands grasping for the diamonds of winter sunlight being reflected by the circular mirror strapped to the headrest above her. But it was undeniably something. A low hum of disquiet. An awareness that things were out of kilter or off balance in some hard-to-pinpoint way. She almost had it then. It was the nappy bag. Paul hit the brakes. What? We left Leela's changing bag in our room. Unless you put it in the boot. Paul's face was ashen and drawn, and there was a blood blister on his bottom lip from where he'd been chewing it. His spectacles were askew, one lens smudged by a wayward thumbprint. Didn't you? He asked. No, I forgot. Paul closed his eyes and seemed to swallow something sickly. Then he checked all around, through the windscreen, in his mirrors, before unclipping his seatbelt and popping his door. I'll go back and get it, he said. Should we come too? A pained glance at Leela. And Paul shook his head, no. But he slipped out of the car and gauged the distance to the hotel entrance. He seemed to flinch and then freeze, like a man who'd heard the deadly click of a landmine he'd accidentally stepped on. Paul? It's okay, he told her, in a voice that sounded a very long way from okay. Lock the doors after I'm gone, and sound the horn if anyone comes near. I'll be as fast as I can be, I promise. 1. I don't like this. I was talking about the driving conditions. It was late on Saturday night, and we were surrounded by darkness and thick fog. Visibility was poor, verging on terrible. The road we were travelling on out of Foy was unlit and narrow. But my boyfriend, Ben, misunderstood me. Or maybe he understood me much too well, and bit back a sigh. It's my job, Abby, he muttered. I couldn't say no. You know I couldn't. For the record, he could have said no. He could have said it as easily as he'd said no to the two of us finishing our weekend away together. Only I wasn't going to tell him that. It would be